We will start this City of Palmer Special City Council meeting for April 14th, 2015. And Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Best will be arriving late. Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
And Mayor Johnson is ill. She may be attending for some of the regular meeting.
And Councilman Irby, I think, mentioned he was going to be out of state. So we have a quorum. And if we can get Councilwoman Combs, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now it's time for audience participation. Do we have anyone in the audience who wishes to come to speak to the council? Please state your name and sign in for us. And there's a 3-minute timer. No, we'll start it after you sign in. We want you to be legible, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor.
If you can hit the button and get the red light on there.
Forget about that.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Briggs, I see that you're working on the stormwater drains this year. In 2001 up until, I don't know what it is this year it's going to be, but this is what's been coming out of the drains behind my house, and it's a stormwater drain, and it's like this here all the way through. I have complained to the city. I have complained to the borough.
Do you want me to hand it? I'll bring it back to you.
Sure.
Okay.
To the borough. And with no results, that nobody even cared about it. Matter of fact, I was told to go suck eggs from one person. So I went ahead and certified mail to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I hand-served the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency on 7th Avenue, Governor Tony Noel's office, Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, and the City of Palmer. And this was signed by everybody on August 14th. Those pictures and stuff was taken in June. And that's what usually comes through every summer. Spring and summer behind my property. Sometimes it's fecal matters, toilet paper, human waste that comes out that drain. So I don't know what it's tied to. You folks had somebody out there, I guess, last spring trying to find the head of it and they couldn't find it or anything, so Gail had to go ahead and take them over and show them where the culvert's head was to go ahead and so they could GPS it or whatever. But anyway, that is what comes flowing out. And it is the most putrid smell you could even think. DEC came out and, well, they came out and they forgot their test box, they said. Then they went ahead and tried to test it, and they realized that their batteries on the meter was dead. So they just said, well, it's nasty stuff, and drove off. So I'm hoping that you folks try to find the culprit who's doing that, because it's not being a good stewardship of Palmer or anybody else of discharging that kind of stuff in public waters. Especially when the main aquifer for the City of Palmer is underneath the Palmer Airport. But City of Palmer was served. I have Palmer's stamp, everything else, that they received it with everybody else. And nobody would go ahead and return any messages at all. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I was there was June of 04, May or June of, or of 01, I'm sorry. And there's some other ones that was of 06. Then I've got some more at the house that was later.
Okay.
So I think go ahead and try to bring it to you.
Thanks. Is there anyone else that wants to speak for audience participation? Okay, seeing no one else, we'll close audience participation. And we're looking for a motion to go into a committee of the...
So moved. Second.
So it's been moved and seconded to go into committee as a whole. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're in the committee as a whole. Mr. Manager, we have a master plan presentation here.
Mayor and Council, can I ask that Tom Healy come up and introduce HDL?
Mr. Healy.
Thanks. City had a project where we did the sort of first phase of a stormwater master plan. We contracted with Hadberg, Dilley, and Linnell in this first phase, which the bulk of it was actually inventorying our stormwater system. And they did extensive work by identifying all the manholes, taking pictures of the insides, measuring the elevations, and all that, the size of the culverts, and work that into a model, which the representatives from HDL can describe in a lot more detail than I can. But I think their report was very well done. What we find particularly interesting are is the model they developed. It's a hydraulic model where you can add in, you know, how much rain falls and how much time and what effect that has on certain areas in the system. And the model identified areas which we've traditionally had troubles with sometimes. So I think it's a good, it's sort of ground truth that way, and I think it's a good thing to have. When we allocate some more funding or receive some more funding, we could do a sort of phase two, which would get more into detail of best management practices and more detailed capital project recommendations. But at this point, I will turn it over to Dave Lundeen and his associate for a description of what they've done for us. Thanks.
Well, as Tom said, I'm Dave Lundeen. I'm a engineer with Hattenberg, Dilley, and Linnell. I know most of you from previous projects that we've done with the city. I think I'll just get right into it. There's a PowerPoint presentation that'll be on the screen on behind you, and I guess it's on your iPads as well. At some point, I'm going to ask you just to watch the screen because we were having some trouble earlier with the frequency of the iPads updating, and there's some live action that you're going to want to watch on the screen. But Palmer's stormwater system has been developed over, it's about 50 plus years that it's been being expanded and built. Unlike your water system and your sewer system, there's been no long-term planning document ever created as far as I'm aware of. I know there's been a few different water master plans, a few different sewer master plans, and stormwater seems to be the forgotten utility. It pretty much just quietly goes about doing its job. Water falls out of the sky, snow, rain, runoff, collects into catch basins, goes into pipes, and disappears. There's really no, you know, it's not like a water system where you have a leak and water comes shooting out of the ground, or and people, you know, throw their hands up and we got to do something right now. A leaking storm drain system means that it's just going back into the ground. There's really not an issue. The issues come in when it's polluted water going back into the ground. But there's really no way of knowing that. When there is an issue is when you have localized flooding events, and not so much those flooding events that happen before the water gets to the storm drain system. It's the flooding events that happen after the water's in the storm drain system and comes back out where it's not planned to. And those are where the pipe system is overwhelmed, and you end up with, say, bottlenecks within your pipe system, and there's nowhere for the water to go but up through the manholes and back out onto the street. Many of us got together even in 2008. Sandra Garley was part of that group, and we were planning for the 2010 census, the results of the 2010 census being such that the core area of the borough was going to reach the population number and density that would trigger the designation as an urbanized area. It didn't happen after the 2010 census. We expect, well, I expect, and other people, the borough expects, that it's going to happen after the 2020 census. When that happens, not only the federal highways has some different requirements or some monies available, but to get them you have to do some things, but the EPA has that as well, and then they start taking control and paying attention to storm drain systems. An MS4 is a municipal separate storm system, storm sewer system. And a storm sewer system is kind of a older term. A separate storm sewer system is when your stormwater and your wastewater, your domestic wastewater, are in separate pipes. So that's a separate sewer system. It used to be pretty common that rainwater and residential wastewater would go into the same pipe system, be discharged right out into the lake or into the ocean or whatever. And over time, that's changed. Now it's a separate storm system, so it's a municipal separate storm sewer system. It becomes regulated by the EPA when you reach that urbanized area definition. And it's population of 50,000 and a density of 1,000 per square mile. I think that's the numbers. So the core area of the borough is pretty close to meeting that. And it seems that the EPA might kind of go out of their way to make sure some areas meet that. For example, in Fairbanks, the Fairbanks proper, and then there's a strip that gets you out to North Pole. And if you include North Pole in there, then you get the right numbers and it becomes an urbanized area. And so there's an expectation that that's going to happen in the borough, and it'll include the cities of Wasilla and Palmer and areas in between that are obviously borough. Palmer's stormwater system then would become designated as a regulated small MS4. It's not the end of the world. It's not a big deal. Might not be a big deal, but what it does is now there's a level of oversight that really doesn't exist right now. In preparation for that, the Matsu Borough did a stormwater management plan, prepared a stormwater management plan, and they did cooperate with, at least to some degree. I wasn't involved with it, and I'm not as familiar with it as I might should be, but there was some cooperation with the two cities in terms of they have storm systems and the borough really doesn't. So what are they really doing leading this? Well, they're leading it because they're most likely to become the lead agency under this designation because of the geographic area being part of their boundaries. Their study was some useful information that I think Palmer can use as you move ahead in preparation for this designation. Another step in preparation for this designation is what we've started with this study. In 2013, the city was awarded a grant through DCCED of $115,000 for a stormwater master plan. $115,000 was not enough to do a complete stormwater master plan, starting from where the city had to start from, which was, we don't even know where our stormwater system really is. To be able to model it properly, we needed to know the elevation on every pipe, the size of every pipe, where every manhole was, and the condition of the pipes as best we can, so that we can put it into a computer model, and then you can run a various scenarios on it as to, you know, what if this rainfall happens? What are we going to see on the outfall? What are we going to see? Where if there's flooding? And that's all part of this master plan. So the purpose of the master plan was to provide information about your existing stormwater system and then make recommendations aimed at guiding your future decisions. The scope then of task one, under a $105,000 contract that was awarded to HDL in May of 2014, was to define a study area. You know, what is the City of Palmer's stormwater system? How far does that reach? Does it go to the city limits? Does it go beyond? And so we had to really concentrate on the two main outfalls that the city has. There's two main systems, and I'll get into that in just a second. But what we had to not spend much time on was a few smaller systems that don't actually have big trunk discharges, in this case to the Matanuska River. They instead discharge to a pond or to a field. We didn't pay much attention to those systems in this scope. We then had to as-built the existing system, and that, as Mr. Healy mentioned earlier, was a pretty intensive effort. I looked today, and I think it was somewhere around 1,000 man-hours that were spent last summer, and the gentleman who spoke earlier is right, in that we were out in his area looking for the end of the pipe. We appreciate his help in finding it. It was a collaborative effort between the city and HDL. We had two interns that spent a lot of their summer working with Rick Pittman from the city staff to Rick would go and open the manhole lids. Everything we did was from above ground, so we were able to drop a survey rod down in, measure the size of each pipe, sketch a orientation, the directions of each pipe, the condition of the pipe, the type of pipe, and also we dropped a GoPro in and actually videotaped the inside of each one of the manholes. So the city has all that information at their disposal now that they didn't have before. We also had to set a control network around the city so that we could survey in the location of each one of the manholes. So, and in fact, Casey here is with me and we'll speak a little bit later, was part of setting up that control network and then actually physically surveying, you know, each manhole at the same location, so it was all oriented correctly, and we would have an easy-to-use set of information. We took all that information and developed a model, a hydrologic-hydraulic model, that we'll demonstrate a little bit for you tonight. And then we spent a little bit of time putting together some capital projects. Just to give you an idea of what the order of magnitude would be or the scope of a project would be that would help you move towards alleviating flooding issues. So the two main drainage basins that we looked at are the two that are connected to the pipes that outfall into the Matanuska River. And we define them as a north sub-basin that's in the yellow And then we had a central sub-basin. And you might ask why there wasn't a southern sub-basin or why we didn't call the central the southern. There's a lot of cities south of that area still that isn't served by a storm drain system and very well could be at some point. I know there's been discussion amongst Public Works that Jesus area sure could benefit from a storm drain system. And so we left that available for a future designation should that come up. The north subsystem is defined primarily by east of the Glen Highway and north of the Old Glen, Arctic Avenue. The east side of that then is Sherrod, Swanson Elementary, Gulcana, Cranberry Meadows subdivision there. Then the central subsystem is everything south of Arctic and captures most of downtown, the central business district, and then also, as you see, across the airport. Both of these systems have trunk main pipes that for the north system, it flows down Arctic into the Old Glen and then across the north edge of the airport. The central system trunk main goes out Fireweed, drops down Chugach, and then heads out near the senior center and actually parallels the north side of the Crosswind Runway. It runs in the ditch in between the Crosswind Runway and the taxiway, crosses the golf course and discharges out into the river there. So to take on this, it was actually a pretty big challenge to take on mapping the whole storm drain system. And so we came up with a naming scheme, and it may not be important to you, but I think as a tool for future, if you were to go about actually mapping the sanitary sewer system, this would be a useful. We tried to make it so that it could be used for multiple things and put into your, as the city develops an asset management system in GIS, and I think that, you know, at some point you'll move into doing that, that this sort of designation would be beneficial. So we thought we'll do it now, and then hopefully it's still usable when you need it later. And basically the subsystem north or central is the first letter, and then you've got the on your street grids, east or west is the next letter, and then a storm drain, so the SD, and then just the manhole number. And again, this could be used for your sewer manholes too, with, you know, with a similar numbering system. So we went out, like I said, the our interns and Casey helped them go out and locate every manhole, the data about the manhole, what sort of lid it has, a riser, make notes on all this stuff, and then the pipe diameters, their depths, so that we can convert them into an invert elevation, and then the type of material, and like I said, the video of the manhole itself. What we found between the two systems, about 3.5 miles of pipe in your north system, about a little more than twice that in the central system, 8 to 42 inch diameter pipes. A 42 inch diameter storm drain is pretty big, but you'll see that it's not big enough and based on the area that it serves. Both CMP and which would be corrugated metal pipe, the normal what you think of as a culvert, and then CPEP, which is a corrugated polyethylene pipe, which is more of a modern material, but has its own drawbacks in that it's, you can't put power to it to thaw it. You know, with a metal pipe, you can electrify it and thaw those pipes out, and the CPEP, you can't really do that. You try to heat it up too much, you melt it. There's 99 manhole structures in the north and 230 in the central. And interestingly enough, you know, about double the pipe, and it's about double the drainage basin areas as well. We took the information we gathered, put it into the stormwater model. The EPA has a free, this model software is free, just to download. It's widely recognized as, you know, a standard to be used. It's referred to as SWIM, Stormwater Management Model. It's a dynamic model for hydrology and hydraulic capacity in your pipes, hydraulic capacity in the pipes, and then the hydrology is about the way the rain falls and transports along the ground before it gets into your pipe system. Then when it's in the pipe system, then it's the hydraulic part. Once you put all the data into the model of what you have, then you can use various rainfall events to and model each of those, see what your outputs are. A typical design storm event is a 10-year 24-hour storm, which for Palmer is about almost 2 inches of rain. Now I'm going to back up. The 10-year, give me a minute and I'll explain what 10-year 24-hour storm really means. But that model, bunch of inputs. You've got the topography that the rain is falling on, the sort of vegetation that's on it, whether you got a houses on the area or if it's an open field, the type of soil for whether it's soil that readily absorbs the water or whether it sheds off. Lots of those hydrologic inputs. And then out of that hydrologic part of the model comes a peak runoff volume, peak runoff flow rate, and then when that runoff happens, which is referred to as an outflow hydrograph. The hydrologic inputs you put in there, pipe sizes, roughness coefficients for the type of pipe, the length of pipe, the locations of all the structures, you put all that into this hydraulic model, and then it comes out with an output in terms of your velocity of the water moving through the pipe, the volume of water being discharged, when it's being discharged, and then your water surface elevation within the pipe. And you'll see in a minute where we demonstrate the model, and you would like that your water surface elevation is within the diameter of your pipe. If your pipe's 2 foot diameter, you want your water surface to be something less than that. When it's not less than that, then it causes a problem, and you'll see that happen. The output of the model is something like this, and it shows your pipe in a profile view, changing by elevation. The vertical pieces of that are where your manholes are. The little dashed line near the top is the ground surface, and then the blue is your water, and you'll see it vary over time as we demonstrate the model. Before we get to that, I am going to go ahead and define these storm events. So a 2-year storm event is a storm event that, based on historic records, has a probability of happening, has a 50% probability of happening in any given year. A 100-year storm event has a 1% probability of happening in any given year. Some people think, oh, well, we had 400-year storms. Well, that's possible. Just like when you roll a dice, sometimes you roll the same thing over and over. The probabilities are that it's going to happen over the long time, based on the amount of data that we have, that 100-year storm is, you know, once every 100 years. But as we all know, statistics aren't perfect.
Yes, sir. Sure. We're getting to the presentation soon, right?
We are.
Okay.
Well, this is part of the presentation.
Do you prefer not to have questions now?
You can.
With snow, then, I get it on a storm, but how does that relate to, we have 10 inches and it stays right there, and then all of a sudden it melts?
Yeah, so those are things that you can adjust in the model. Things like having a 4-inch snow cover and then what would be typically a 2-year storm event, and it's going to have a larger runoff than a 2-year storm event that didn't have the 4 inches of snow cover. So those are inputs that you can adjust in the model. We can also model a wintertime storm event where the pipes are a third full of ice, and you can then model it that way. You can adjust the model so that you have frozen ground conditions as opposed to, you know, July and water's being absorbed. So Casey's going to actually we're going to switch out of this and run the software for you briefly. Casey Witz, an engineer in my office, is more familiar with running this model than I am.
So I'm going to think this is where our iPads don't keep up.
Yeah, this is where your iPads aren't going to necessarily keep up. I've got it minimized down there.
There it is. So Casey Witt, engineer with Hattenberg Dilley Linnell. Been doing this stuff since 2001 when I graduated college. So this is a stormwater management model developed by EPA version 5. It first developed in 1971, so they've only got 5 versions. So version 5 actually came out in 2001, so it's been with us a while. This is a study area of the northern region of our basins that we were modeling. This is this long straight stretch along here is Arctic Avenue. And then we've got, I think that's Railroad Way, Valley Way, okay, right there. And we, up here in the top left corner, we've got our various rain gauges that we modeled to evaluate what was going on with the system. And I guess maybe I need to go over and enlarge this. There we go. So also over in the left-hand side is a whole bunch of project information. A lot of this is very, the model's been, takes into account all this different information, your soils, your type of pipes and everything. And so there's a lot of setup work involved with getting the model to run properly. And, but we, luckily we have this all working now. So the little lightning rod.
Your Honor.
Yes. Councilwoman Combs.
I start seeing graphs like this and my brain goes a little fizzy. But tell me one more time. I mean, I get Arctic. I got that right away. Every one of those little dots, are we talking about a manhole?
Every dot is a manhole, yes.
So even the area, and I understand the description of the area since I live in the area, but everything east pretty much of North Valley Way, no manholes. I'm not surprised living on East Caribou, because it happens with runoff. But I just wanted to make sure I had that correct. Okay.
Right. So the short stub that runs north there that you're seeing is Gulkana, and that's Gulkana. And as you know, we did a bunch of construction there last summer, and we extended storm drain north up to Gulkana that far. Before there was basically none on Gulkana. So the storm drain has been extended up that far. This summer with the Shared Phase 3 project, assuming that that's funded and moves ahead, it's out to bid at this point, that we'll be extending it all the way up to in front of Swanson Elementary. And that'll be the end of that extension. From that, there'll be the benefit of revising some of the grading on those streets, such as the one that you live on, and a better job of collecting the stormwater up there, and then also some opportunities for collecting stormwater from the Cranberry Meadows side, as well as some improvements on Bonanza or Beaver at Eklutna. It's not going to fix that completely. Eklutna needs its own project, but it's moving towards getting that fixed.
Thank you. I remember walking that a couple summers
right.
ago with you,
yeah.
And some of the neighbors, as well as myself, had pointed that out, that was one of our concerns about when we have an actual breakup. We haven't had one of those for a while, but when we have a breakup or a big snow event or don't too often have a big rain event, but it was just very noticeable, and this kind of explains that.
Could you scoot that over that way so we can see your variables?
It's the projector up there.
And can't you drag it?
No, it's full screen right now.
We'll take it off full screen.
It's off full screen and then shift your
drag. Slightly better.
that small.
That's a little too small.
There we go. And the details of all the way that this runs is important. What we want to show you is actually the outputs of it. So Casey's put in a 5-year storm event. A 2-year storm event? Okay.
Yeah.
So we can expect this storm event to happen every other year, or 50% chance of it happening in any given year. And then we can select a section of the pipe to look at, and pick on Arctic.
So we're gonna pick the profile on Arctic Avenue, and we've got this manhole right here, and it's called manhole 42. Okay. It's right there in the middle, just west of Valley. And we ran the model, and we're gonna look at a profile of the pipes.
So you pick the section of the pipe that you want to look at. You know, Casey said we're running down Arctic there. You can pick any path that you want for the runoff, and then it gives you a profile view of that pipe. Each one of the manholes is labeled across the top.
So there's our profile of all the pipes, and you'll notice 1,000 feet into it is manhole number 42, fourth one over from the left.
So now it starts the rain starts falling, and it runs over time here. So it's running, we're 3 hours into the storm, and water's flowing up your pipes. Did you see how it, so we've stopped it now.
So our 10 and 15 minutes, your storm event that we've ran through, it's not leaving the manhole. It's a 2-year storm event. We don't have any problems. Manhole number 42 does leak pipes. The water stockpiled in the cone of the manhole. So that's like your first sign that you're gonna have a future failure with your storm system. You can see the pipes are full all the way down the line. That's the 42-inch line that I think we're talking about right there. So we'll go ahead and move on to a 5-year storm event and see what happens.
Go to 25.
25?
Okay. How many inches of water was the 25? 2.2.
So now recalculate it based on that storm event, and then we can run the simulation again.
So same profile as before.
It's 3 hours.
So hour 10 and 15, and it actually, what it's showing you right there is the runoff, the storm water is actually leaving the manhole. The computer model takes that as the storm water leaves the manhole, it stores it in its algorithm that it's generating, and when there's more capacity downstream, it'll allow that runoff to then flow back into the manhole and then downstream. So the manhole, I think in this scenario, the manhole stays flooded or filling for about half an hour, and then it'll continue. It'll get back down into the manhole and go on down the pipes. So
what you would see in the field if you were watching that is instead of water going into the manhole, into the catch basins that are there, it would be coming out of the catch basins, and then flooding into the street. Water goes into the street, and then once the main bulk of the water that's running through the pipe leaves, then that water can go back into those catch basins.
So one would think that maybe you need to go out and like do some repair work on manhole number 42, but part of what the model here is telling us is that there's other contributing factors to the situation, and these other pipes downstream, 42-inchers, maybe that's contributing and flooding the pipe so the water doesn't have anywhere to go. And so with the model, we can come up with
projects are fairly easily, we can decide, well, what happens if we change the 42-inch pipe to a 52-inch pipe, where we reroute some runoff from one particular area to another area, or we can decide to add a storage facility, like ponds or infiltration basins or different scenarios like that, that we can run with the model just to try to plan a project that would alleviate some of these situations. I think that's it. You have the model.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any questions of council at this point, or?
So what the model showed us for the various storm events there on that north system is that the five-year event on the north system, there's four manholes that we would expect to have flooded around. 10-year event, same. 6-year event, or a 25-year event, there's a couple more. On the central system, it's more significant. There's a whole lot of manholes, and so we were, you know, we looked at that and like, we got this right. And so we asked Mr. Healy and Greg Wickham to come into our office. We demonstrated the model for him. We said, there's really no way to calibrate the model. Usually when you do a water model, you check pressures here, and you can flow hydrant there, and yeah, this thing's working like we expect it to. But there's really no way to calibrate a stormwater model. And so we asked Greg and Tom, and they said, well, yeah, that's the manholes that flood. And that's, you know, it's about this much rain when that happens. And so, you know, there's just anecdotal evidence to be able to calibrate it. And so we're fairly confident that it's close. You know, there's no way of really, you know, being 100% confident, but we're pretty confident it's close. We then looked at what happened if, you know, we don't know when the rest of the undeveloped land in Palmer is going to be developed, but what happens if it is? So we did a full build-out scenario based on zoning maps. So there's a residential lot that doesn't have anything on it, let's put a house on it. There's a commercial lot, let's make some assumptions about what's going to be on there and put a commercial development on it. And then we ran a 10-year storm event for that, which is, most stormwater systems are designed for either a 10-year or a 25-year event. You don't want to design it for a 100-year event, or you'd have these huge stormwater systems that wouldn't be, that'd be oversized for most of the time. But then you don't want one that's just a 2-year stormwater system, or you know, you're going to have a flooding on it. So there's some happy medium, and typically it's 10 or 25 years. So we use 10 years for our analysis, but it's just as easy to do 25. And in the north, basically, there's 9 manholes there, and in the south it goes from 33 in the existing system, or the central, it goes from 33 in the existing to 55 manholes where there'd be flooding, the full build-out. So this is the aerial photo behind the pipe system of the north system only. The red dots are manholes where flooding is going to occur with a 5-year storm event. And you can see there's 4. There's some up on Eagle, Eagle at Chugach, right at the bottom of the hill. And it makes logical sense to me as I look at that, that, yeah, I'm going to expect that water coming down the hill and the other water coming the other way that's pointing at each other is going to have some troubles fighting each other to try to turn the corner and head south. And so, yep, there's some buildup of water there. The model would say that it's going to come out of the ground. And then down at on Arctic at Bonanza, the issue there really comes from the amount of water that's coming down valley and getting into the storm drain at Arctic. And it just overwhelms the system there, and so it backs up at Bonanza. So then, under the future development scenario, let me finish. The reds are 5-year, the oranges down on Arctic at the Glen and Alaska are would flood 25 years events, then those yellows in the middle of the subdivisions there is the 50-year. What happens with the future build-out is the oranges and most of the yellows turn to flooding with a 10-year storm event. And so what we did then is said, well, just to get us started on capital projects that would eliminate this,
let's pick up one big project. So if we replaced the entire main, that 42-inch main from a valley way to the end, to where it dumped into the river, upsize that pipe, it would eliminate most of that flooding. Rough order of magnitude cost, no design, just like, this is about probably $3.5 million. We said, well, what if we wanted to go more of a piecemeal approach? What if I did something here and something there and something over there, and each one of those was a smaller project, and how does that fit together to get the same effect? And so we looked at the top of the screen, building a little detention pond in the low area that's north of Eagle, the bottom of the of the hill by Chugach. Probably $900,000 range to go build something in there and revise a storm system that would go over into that pond and then would potentially push that water back into the storm water, into the storm drain system once the peak flood came by. $900,000. Well, what if we, along Valley Way, the railroad tracks, you know, the railroad's not there. What if they're never going to come back and they would let us put an infiltration basin or a detention pond in there? Whether it's an infiltration actually disposing the water in the ground or a pond to just hold that water and then put it back into the system later, probably about $1 million there. And then replacing a short section of pipe on our Arctic would be necessary. There's another few hundred thousand. And then intercepting the Valley Way water and taking it out of Auckland, dumping it out into this open ground between Cranberry Meadows and the school and an academy that I know the school district owns it now, and you know, who knows how it really happened, if that's even a possibility, but there's another couple $1 million project. You add those up, you know, it's $4 to $5 million. The one big project's $3.5 million. I don't know where you go with that, but that's the sort of order of magnitude that we did at this level, just to get the city and whoever's reading the report kind of thinking about the sort of order of magnitude of projects that would be. We did the same with the southern, the central basin. It's in the report, so I'm not going to go through it. And we tried to come up with some kind of creative ways of managing stormwater without one big project replacing the entire storm system all the way to the Glen and Evergreen to the discharge. That's a really big disruptive project. So is there some other smaller versions that could happen? So that's really kind of where we went with the capital projects. There's also something else we touched on a little bit in the report in terms of management of stormwater by other means besides just building something. And some cities, areas are doing a plan that would encompass all of the city, and it would try to address those three issues, the site control, and then water quality, and then your runoff quantity. What site control means is, I mentioned earlier that we didn't look at some of these smaller systems that discharge into a field. Well, where do those systems discharge now? I think all of them, as far as I know, the city does not have site control. They don't own that property. They don't have an easement for it. There's the water's just going off into the field. And as long as nobody complains, that works. But if somebody decides to build a subdivision there and they don't want that water anymore, there's an issue. So it would address things like site control. The water quality issue, there's areas in the city that have, you know, I'm not sure what Mr. Briggs was talking about, but, you know, he may be witnessing some water quality issues that could be addressed through a stormwater quality plan that would be just overall for the whole city. It would need to be in conjunction with some ordinances that would adopt those recommendations from the plan. And then runoff quantity are things like when a large developer wants to put in, if we want to use for an example the new Fred Meyer across the street, actually, let's use the old Fred Meyer. All of their stormwater went into the city storm drain system. It's already undersized. We know there's already problems with it, but we took an area that was farm field and a church and a small parking lot and turned it all into pavement. And that increased the runoff from the area.
a stormwater quality plan might have said, you know, you want to develop there, that's fine, but you need to control some of your own stormwater. Not necessarily hold it all on your site and dispose of it there, but hold it there long enough so that the rest of the stormwater can get through the system and then put that back in and we can dispose of it as it is, you know, through the normal means, but you have to hold it for a while.
Now, Mr. Lundin, we need to wrap up, and I think, Mr. Gaddy, did you have a comment?
I think I have one more slide. So,
okay.
And then within that would be a site-specific, so such as when Fred Meyer goes to develop that, they would have to come to you with, here's our plan. And so there would be a site-specific stormwater quality plan. The next steps for this, I believe that the task two that had been identified initially, finalizing the capital projects, you know, developing those more, developing some alternatives, so the city has direction as to where they want to go, they can start seeking funding. Put all that into a master plan report, into one final report. And then I think as additional tasks to that, the city should also consider writing some of those ordinances, at least looking at what other cities are doing, things that are acceptable or expected to by developers. You know, some developers are expecting that these sort of things would be in place, and right now in Palmer there isn't much that restricts them. And then that overall stormwater quality plan, I think, is something that you should also consider as you move forward in your paying attention to your stormwater system.
Is there any questions of council?
Mr. Mayor. David answered it. It was a question of ordinances and developing.
Yeah.
So David answered
that. Okay.
Thank you.
And I guess that kind of wraps it up. We don't have to take any action on this at this point. This is kind of a preliminary report. And okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Lundin. We'll come out of the committee as a whole, and no other things on our agenda. We'll adjourn for a few minutes.